Well, thank you very much. Wonderful introduction for the morning's message. Why don't we pray? Get started. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you call us to yourself. And we do want to just say this morning, Lord, that we stand ready to do what it is that you ask us to do. As we reflect on the idea of being spiritually fit, drawing closer to you in Christian maturity and in our spiritual journey, we ask, Lord, that you would challenge us where we need to be challenged and convicted, but also, Lord, that we would be encouraged to continue this lifelong journey into knowing you better. And so, Lord, we do commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think it would be safe to say that our nation in Australia in general has got a physical fitness craze. We're addicted to physical fitness. Suncorp put out a report last year called The Cost of Being Fit in Australia, and they said that Australians spend in 2015 $8.5 billion on fitness products or on trying to get fit in this country. $8.5 billion. They said it works out at an average of $75 per month per person in this country, which is just phenomenal when you think about the cost of that. Apparently, I'm not sure how they figured this out, but they said that 6 million people have a New Year's resolution with fitness as a goal. So that's a lot of people. In 2015, 4.6 million Aussies were members of a gym. So we've got members of a gym here this morning. Simon, we got a couple. All right, so you are two are included in this 4.6 million people are members of a gym. What's interesting is that according to the report, residents in the ACT spent more money in 2015 on physical fitness products than any other state in Australia. So per capita, we spend the most money in this country. And out of interest, I went to find out which state spent the least. It was Queensland. I'm not sure it's all the retirees who are there, perhaps. Or they've got the best beaches, so they don't need to spend money. But you know, we like spending money on physical fitness products. And you know, I like watching infomercials. Now, it might just be me, I might be strange, but I like trying to see what is it that they're trying to sell me and how are they trying to sell this product, which is probably useless. You know, what they want me to buy it. And there are amazingly a number of physical fitness products that are sold on TV through infomercials. So I went to asseenontv.com, which is... Thank you for that cheer and that applause. That was the gym. So I went to asseenontv.com and looked at what you can currently buy today in physical fitness products online or through TV. And the first one that caught my attention was this, the Ab Rocket. Now, I just love the name. I have no idea where it rockets your abs to, but I reckon my abs need to go there. So, you know, and she looks like she's having fun, so I like that one. The next one was the Thigh Glider. Now, probably the less said about that one, the better. It was an interesting idea. But my favorite one of all was this one, the Rhythm Rocker Exercise Dancing Chair. I just love the name of that. And I thought, well, what does it do? How does it work? So I actually clicked on it and went and looked up more detail. And it says that you dance while sitting down and lose weight as you do it. I've no idea how it works, but I want one. And I reckon it would be great in my office to replace my office chair. You could have some fun with that. You know, but we like to spend money on these kinds of products. And just last year, I went to the Canberra Fair, missed it this year, but I don't know, they might have had them there this year as well. But you know those vibration stations? You stand on them, you don't have to do anything, you just stand there, and all it does is it shakes everything, including your eyeballs, right? And apparently you're losing weight. And it's like when your eyeballs fall out, you know, you've lost some weight. And my wife had a go of that for about 10 seconds. And then she got off and she said, I'm never stepping on one of those things ever again. You know, there's just some things you shouldn't experience. But you know, whatever it is, a new fad or a new phase, we want to spend money on it if it can help us reach our ideal of somehow being being physically fit. The problem is that despite this fitness craze and despite all the money we spend, as a country, to put it bluntly, we're pretty much fatter than we've ever been before. The OECD put out a report saying that by the end of this decade, so 3 or 4 years from now, they estimate that more than two-thirds of Australians will be clinically overweight or obese. That's more than 66% of Australians will be overweight. So it's not a lack of spending money on the products. Perhaps it's a lack of using them. But there's this disconnect between our ideal self, you know, what we want to be, and the reality of who we are. And it got me thinking as I reflected on that about our own spiritual life. Because this question that we, this verse that we have for us here, 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says, look, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but rather train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And what I liked about this passage in the Phillips translation is it puts it in a very easy to understand way. Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. And it got me thinking about, is there a disconnect between our spiritual ideal of where we know we should be as Christians, where we know we should be in our journey with Christ, and the reality? Now, how then do we get spiritually fit was then the obvious question. And so we're not fat, but fit. What do we do? And so I got thinking about the infomercials and all the things that they can do, you know, to promise spiritual fitness. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen an infomercial on how to be spiritually fit as opposed to physically fit. So I've created something, which I think I might be able to sell, spiritual fitness. So I call it my spiritually fit kit. Now, I need a volunteer. Thank you, Simon, for volunteering. Simon's going to help me demonstrate how the spiritual fitness kit works. Now, it comes with a manual. I've called it the Misfit Spiritual Fitness Training Manual, and it's got some details here on how to use it. But we're just going to do some demonstrations today. Now, the first thing in the spiritual fitness kit, Simon, is that you understand that Jesus says that we are to shine our light. All right, we're not supposed to put our light under a bushel. So if we're going to be spiritually fit, we need to ensure that everybody knows that you're a Christian. Okay? So the first item in the spiritually fit kit is this beautiful cross. And I'd love you to wear it, just so that when you're walking around the street, going into Target and Kmart, you'll be able to show everybody that you're a Christian. Excellent. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing we know as Christians and believers that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. All right? Now, you live in a nice place. You got a nice home, a nice apartment or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah, it looks good. It's clean. It's tidy. Yeah, it as can be. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit likes to live in a nice, clean, tidy and fit body. So the next thing in the spiritual fitness kit is actually these barbells. Now, because you go to the gym, I know you know how to use these. So what I'd like you to do is just to start pumping. And perhaps some overarm arcs as well. Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. Just keep those up while I talk. That's excellent. So being physically fit on the outside is also very important for our spiritual fitness on the inside. You know, we don't want the Holy Spirit to have to live in a dump. All right? That's good. That's good. I didn't say stop. Keep it up. Yep, yep, it's good. Now, you're aware that, and actually I was so pleased you said that verse this morning from Romans 1:16. Where, you know, you're not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for the salvation of the world, both Jew and Gentile. And, you know, if we're going to allow the power of God to shine through, then we have to make sure that everything that God does, he gets the glory. Do you agree? Yeah, yeah. So that, therefore, anything that we do, it can't reflect on us, right? It can't say that, you know, I did it and it's good because of me, right? So we need to look foolish in the eyes of the world, so that the God gets the glory. Yeah, yeah, you with me? You with me? You agree? Great. Because I've got this item here which I think is going to really help you fulfill that function. And if you could just put that on for us, that would be fantastic. Excellent. Excellent. I can see you becoming more spiritually fit by the second. This is really good. Okay, you can put the barbells down just for a second, because I need to give you something here. Now, one of the things that we need to do when we are spiritually fit is we need to exercise our faith, right? We need to exercise our faith so that we can build faith muscles. And to do that, we need to witness, okay? But in order to witness properly, we just need to have a better understanding of ourselves. So what I'd like you to do, and the fact, of course, that it's not just us, but it's Christ who lives within us, right? I think you would understand and agree that real spiritual fitness does require us a deep appreciation that it's Christ who lives within. Yeah? Yeah. So I've got this mirror here. I'd like you just to hold the mirror up and look inside it, look in the mirror, and repeat after me. Christ lives in me. Christ has made me beautiful. I am beautiful. Excellent, excellent. I think we're ready to do our spiritual fitness witness activity now. So we're just going to go down to the school and knock on houses nearby. These guys will wait for us. Actually, we can't do that because they're on time pressures. You know. So what we're going to do is just going to practice in here. So I'd like you just to go and shake a smile. You got a smile? Big smile. And just shake someone's hand for us. Yeah, great. Now pat them on the back. Yep. Yeah. Now give them a hug. Yeah. Yeah. Now give them a holy kiss. No, don't do that, don't do that. Yeah, just come back. It's you're definitely on the road to spiritual fitness now. So with all of that said, what do you think? Does he look spiritually fit? I think he does. It's good. What do you feel, Simon? How do you feel at the moment? It needs some work. So you think that my spiritual fit kit hasn't quite got it all together yet? It needs a little bit extra. Okay. Do you think there's any element here I can keep, or does it all got to go back to the drawing board? There's some elements here. Okay. All right. That's good. Anything particular that you liked? The hair. He likes the hair. Okay. Do you feel now that you've made it? You are spiritually fit? No, you don't. So there's more elements that have to be done. Okay, all right. Well, would you thank Simon for his effort? And I will have it all back. Thank you very much. Just because you look like you're enjoying that too much. There we go. Look, anyone who wants to buy that spiritually fit kit, I am selling it. You know, as much as we enjoy things, it's not that simple, is it? We can't just go and buy a product online and then suddenly put a wig on or put a cross on and say, yep, I've made it, I'm spiritually fit. See, being spiritually fit, according to our verse here, says that we've actually got to take time and effort. It's not something that just happens. It's not something we can just buy. No, but we live in a consumer culture, don't we? We live in a culture where if we want something, we just go and buy it. And we actually try and we bring that idea into the church. We bring that idea into our spiritual life that I should be able to have it now. I should be able to just get it if I want it. And the Bible tells me I should be spiritually fit or spiritually mature, so why can't I just buy it? Why can't I just get something? Why can't I just come to church, consume the products the church is selling? Right, whether it's worship or teaching, and then all of a sudden be spiritually mature or spiritually fit. It doesn't actually work that way. And I'm glad it doesn't work that way, because what God is interested in is not a level of spiritual fitness in your life. He's actually interested in you personally. You see, when we're thinking about being physically fit, there's a measure, there's a bar, isn't it? We can say, well, I am fitter than the bulk of Australians. I am stronger, I am faster, right? Whatever it is, there's a measure there. But we can't ever get to the point in our spiritual life where we can say to God, I've arrived, I've made it, I'm now spiritually fit. Because God wants us to come on a whole life journey with Him, where it's every day is a new moment. A new time for us to connect with Him, a new time for us to grow, a new time for us to learn. And it's no matter how far we've come, there's still a long way yet for us to go. So what I want to do this morning is present three principles of lifelong journeying into spiritual fitness. Three things that, not that just that we do and we tick the box and we go, therefore now I'm spiritually fit, but three principles that we can apply to say, okay, God, if I'm doing these, I know I'm on the right path into having a better intimate relationship with you. So the first one is this, proper spiritual nutrition. All right, if we're going to be spiritually fit, we do need to have the proper nutrition. And Matthew 4, Jesus says here, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Dallas Willard said this, few people arise in the morning as hungry for God as they are for cornflakes or toast and eggs. And wouldn't it be great if we arose in the morning and our first thought was for our God rather than our stomach? Right. So this is, again, a lifelong principle. But look at what some other passages have to say. Job 23. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Is that really true? Jeremiah. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. And then the psalmist says this, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And so reading, meditating, studying God's word, it's the nutritious food that our soul needs. Now, I know that you know this, right? I know that as a church, you guys value the Word of God. You ground your ministries on the Word of God. There's no problem there. The problem, however, comes that we can become contented with our knowledge. Now, it's not necessarily conscious either, but we can relax. We can kick back, take it easy, rest in the fact that we know enough of the Scriptures, we know enough of God, that we feel that we have a sufficient understanding. And so this is the way in which we actually start to move into being spiritually fat. Why? Because we keep taking in the food. We keep taking in the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. We keep taking it in, but we don't actually do anything with any of the calories that God's given us. Right? You know, if I keep eating good food, even if it's good food, I'm going to put on weight if I don't do any exercise. It's the same with our spiritual lives. If we keep taking in the Word of God, if we keep taking understanding and knowledge of His Word in, but never actually do anything with that knowledge, then we grow spiritually fat. One of the things that the Dead Sea reminds me of. And you know where the Dead Sea is in Israel. And you know why it's called the Dead Sea? Because nothing lives in it, right? Because it's dead. It's because it's very, very salty. It actually has a big river, Jordan River, runs down into the Dead Sea. Has anyone been there? You guys travel a lot? No, no one's been there. I haven't either, but I'd love to go. But the Dead Sea is below sea level, and the River Jordan runs into it. It's got a few tributaries that run in, but there's no exit to the Dead Sea. Water doesn't flow out of it. It just flows in. And as a consequence, because it's flowing in and it's very salty, it has no life. So nothing lives within that. And I see this as a bit of a picture for us, is that we can take in so much, but if we're not giving out anything, then we just grow spiritually fat and there's no real life within us. Who are we blessing? When, you know, Jesus has come to me because I have life, you know, the abundance of life to give. And we go, yes, Lord, I want that. But Jesus also says that he has given us his Spirit so that we would be a blessing to others. You know, streams of living water would flow out from within you. Why does it flow out? So that others can be a recipient of the blessings. So if we always take in, if we always sit, and never expend the calories that God gives us, spiritually speaking, then we grow spiritually fat. See, look at what James has to say. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So we have an opportunity here then. We need to invest in proper spiritual nutrition, but it's that spiritual nutrition that then gets used to bless others. Which means then, of course, the second point is that regular spiritual exercise becomes crucial to being spiritually fit. Now, I've got there, it's not about being able, but about being available. Because there's a sense that, well, you know, God wants me to work for Him, God wants me to exercise my faith so I grow stronger faith, but I don't feel able to do it yet. I've got to wait until I get more able, and then I'll be able to do what God wants me to do. Well, here's the newsflash for you. You're never going to feel able. Okay? Nobody ever feels able. And that's part of the whole point of why it's exercising faith. If we felt able, we would do things in our own strength. And one of the things we say is that serving God requires us to have ability to do so. But God has never said that. Moses, I think, is a great example. He is a man of God who had, you know, God's hand was upon him when he was even an infant. And God raised him up and gave him a great job to go and lead his people out of Israel. So out of Egypt, sorry. But Moses immediately tries to disqualify himself. He says, in fact, this in Exodus 3. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? You know, I'm not able to do it. Why are you asking me? Do you remember what God's answer was? He said this, I will be with you. So like, yeah, I know you're not able, and that's okay, because I am, and I'll go with you. So God isn't interested in your ability, you can't impress Him, and likewise He's not interested in your inability. God's bigger, stronger, more powerful than anything else in this world. God is looking for people who can serve Him, who are willing and available. I like this from Isaiah. You remember in Isaiah 6, Isaiah has this great vision of the throne room of God. And he sees the cherubim and the seraphim up there, and they're circling the Father, and he's awestruck by the glory and grandeur of God. And God says to him, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? You know, and I love what Isaiah responds. You know, just immediately, here am I, send me. But imagine if Isaiah has said, that's a great question, Lord. I've no idea. Maybe you should advertise and see if you know what CVs come in, and you could choose someone who might be appropriate to do this task. He didn't say that, because God's not interested in finding someone who has the ability already to do what He's asking. He's looking for someone who's available. And I think, what if Noah had said, no, I'm not building the ark, I don't know how to saw wood? What if David had said, I'm not going to fight Goliath, he looks too big for me? What if Nehemiah had said, well, I can't rebuild the wall of Jerusalem because I've got too much opposition? What if the person who told you about God's saving grace had said, oh, I don't know what to say, so I won't say anything at all? You see, God puts you uniquely in a place where you're able to exercise the faith that you have to serve Him. And God will be your strength and your power and your comfort and your encouragement to do what He's asked you to do. He simply wants you to be available. So here's the thing. Exercise is a doing word. All right? We don't do it if we just read about it. I can buy a gym membership, but if I don't go, it doesn't work. All right? So we can read the scriptures. We can read. We can sing worship songs. But spiritual fitness doesn't develop just because we do those things. So that requires, then, spiritual exercise requires us to be conformable rather than comfortable. You know those comfort zones that we love to be in? Yeah, spiritual fitness requires us to go beyond those, to go out of our comfort zones. All right. Now, finally, spiritual fitness also requires spiritual renewal. Now, you know how in physical fitness, when you exercise, if you do a good job, then you're tired, you need to rest to recover. Spiritual fitness doesn't quite work the same way, but there is that sense that we need to be able to rest in God if we're actually going to generate a further intimate relationship with Him, all right, to be more spiritually mature, to be fit. Sometimes, and for me in particular, I have this trouble. I love to do things. I love to serve. Exercise is not really my problem. My problem is resting in God. You know, there's always, why am I sitting here doing nothing? When actually, I'm not doing nothing, but it's this mentality that I have that I've got to work through in relation to spending time with God in prayer, spending time with Him resting, is part of what it is to renew my spiritual sense, to renew my spiritual sensitivity, my antennas to what God is saying, my ability to listen to the Spirit and what the Spirit is saying to me. If I'm not resting, then I'm not listening. You know, everybody needs, you could put it this way, you need a time out from time to time. It doesn't matter how in shape you are or how you might think that you're a superman, everyone needs to take time out. And that's what Genesis 2 is all about. You know, God takes a Sabbath day's rest. Why did God do that? Does God need physical rest? Of course He doesn't. But He gave us an opportunity to recognize that in resting, we draw closer in relationship. And if creation didn't crash when God rested, it won't crash when you do. Now, Jesus gave us a great example of this. And something that Francis Chan said, which I really enjoyed, was, we think Jesus is a great saviour, but we don't really want to follow His role model. Right? Because Jesus does things that we don't necessarily like doing. You know, Jesus would go away for a night, and He would pray, and just spend time in the Father's presence. When was the last time that you did that? Now, if we're going to follow Jesus, it actually means to follow His pattern of life. And taking time out to have spiritual rest is essential to our renewal. And here's what Jesus had to say in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. So Jesus wants us to have that rest. He wants us to serve Him, but then also to rest in Him, to regain our strength. And if Jesus knew the importance of that, then we need to learn it as well. So, here are the three things, very simply. Being spiritually fit requires proper nutrition. Are you spending time in the Word? Being spiritually fit requires you to regularly exercise your faith. Are you available? Are you conformable? And you need to ensure that you have proper times of rest where you just spend time with God. Are you doing that in your life? Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and the encouragement we have within Your Word to be spiritually fit. And we thank You, Lord, that this is not something that is a once-off effort, but it is a lifelong journey. So we pray, Lord, that we would continue to journey with You in that, and that You would challenge us on those areas that we need to be challenged. Lord, we particularly want to just come before You and say, Lord, if we need to rest from what we've been doing, if we need to say, sorry, Lord, I haven't been spending time with You like I should, Lord, then help us to put time aside this week, especially to spend time with You. But Lord, if we've been afraid to do what it is that You've been asking us to do, then Lord, we recognize that we won't be able. And Lord, we pray instead that You would enable us, that You would encourage us, draw us and strengthen us to do what it is that You would have us do, so that we might exercise our faith. And Lord, lead us to Your Word every day. May it mean more to us than our daily bread. Lord, and as we take in the nutrition for our soul that comes through Your Word, that we would look forward to spending that energy that we have received in the blessings of others. So Lord, we thank You that You love us, and we commit this to You in Jesus' name. Amen.